I always make audio, so you know. And the reason I make audios, so if you don't want to use your name, don't use your name. The reason I make audios is I do put them on my website for edification and for teaching. And also, you wouldn't believe what people do. Not saying you will do this, but you wouldn't believe what people do. They lie, they call the police, they all kinds of deceit. So I use technology, audios, and videos because Jesus said, be wise as a serpent. And this is a wicked, corrupt world. I get the police call on me nonstop for just standing out peacefully. Today, I stood outside your Catholic church and nobody came out to stop me, say anything. So I can't accuse them of being fleshly. Although your Catholic priest came out, and as soon as he saw me, he turned around and went right back in the building. And I said, bring your Bible. Let's talk about the Word of God in front of all these people. And I accused him of being a Revelation 21:8 coward because he just took off when he saw the street preacher. So none of your men stopped me. Right across the street at the AOG, you can see it on videos. It's going to go up on our website. The pastor came storming out. I was on a public sidewalk and tried to throw me off the public sidewalk and got in my face doing the, I rebuke you, laying your hand, trying to lay his hands on me. I said, sir, leave me alone. He wouldn't leave me alone. Another one of their people came out and got in my face. And I said, sir, just leave us alone. We're just here preaching. Started getting in my wife's face. Started following my wife. Right in her face. I stepped between him and her and I said, sir, stand down, leave my wife alone. He got in my face, blocking the way I was gonna walk, stepped on my foot, I almost fell into the traffic. Another man from the AOG church saw what was going on, called the police and walked over and he said, are you guys okay? He said, why is that man doing that? Getting in our face. The police came over, walked right up to that man and said, don't be doing that. That guy's on a public sidewalk, he has every right, leave him alone. Yeah. You don't like what he has to say, walk away. And so none of your people did that. I have met in the past fleshly Catholic people. One deacon wanted to punch me, he told me. But
that's unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah. So you walked up to me. We got our signs all on our van in the park. You walked up to me. How can I help you today? What's on your mind?
I went to First Mouth, and then I came here to the picnic, and then... some of my friends that you had come across.
Yep, we didn't even know you guys were going to be in the park here. We we came here. We're not following you. We came here because after we do preaches, then we go and we load videos and audios up to our website. We don't do this for clicks. We don't make any money. We don't advertise. I support myself. We don't take people's money. What we do is we put our street preaching on the internet, and the whole goal is, here's why we do it. The whole goal is so that people... Okay, I am going to put up your church. I'm going to mark them on the internet. I'm going to mark Thrive Church across the street. So our website is very powerful. When people go out and they look up Thrive Church Wausau, my thing's going to pop up and it's going to say, you know, Thrive Church exposed, street preaching Thrive Church, your church exposed. And then people go, what is this? And then hopefully the goal is redemption. The goal is that the word of God goes forth, that Christ is lifted up, that people like yourself, I hope, that are seekers will go, yeah, okay, maybe I don't agree with exactly how he did everything, but the things that he's proclaiming from God's word are true. Our body is worldly. Our body does keep a false gospel. Our body is feminized. Our body doesn't seem to be controlling and helping the youth into godliness. The youth is becoming ever more decadent with their... all of the churches opening up to transgenderism and homosexuality and worldliness, more than that, and carnality. And so the goal is that people will find it and that Christ will be glorified. That's the number one purpose. I don't care if anybody listens. Christ to be glorified. That's my number one purpose. And second, that my neighbor, two great commands, love God, and that my neighbor will see the truth and come out of all of these false, corrupt religious systems. And I believe that your Roman Catholic Church is a corrupt, man-made system. To be fair, I'm Catholic. Do you know what the word Catholic means?
Yeah. Universal.
Yes, very good. So I'm part of the universal body of Christ. So is my wife. And we know a handful of saints all over the world that have come out of the world and come out of the man-made church system that would also consider themselves Catholic. Paul was Catholic. Peter was Catholic. John the Baptist was Catholic, even though he was right, technically John the Baptist was right before the New Testament body started, but he was the gateway with Christ, making the way for the Lord. And so we're all Catholic. Where we would diverge from you is the Roman Catholic part. And do you know why that is? Why is it called Roman Catholic Church?
Well, I guess I'm going to wait for you to tell me here.
The reason it's called the Roman Catholic Church is because you had the Catholic Church, the true body of Christ, in the first century, which was established by Jesus. Then many centuries later, the Catholics will try to tell you Peter was the popes. They'll tell you Peter was the first pope. If Peter was a pope, he's a liar. Do you know why? I can take you to 1 Peter and he says, I am a fellow elder. That's what Peter said. I am a fellow elder. He did not say he was a pope. The pope system did not come along for centuries later. In the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th century, the church began to get very corrupted. Paul said, as soon as I leave, ravenous wolves are going to come in. And you know what happened when Paul was martyred? The Bible doesn't tell us this. History tells us Paul was martyred in Rome. Paul said, ravenous wolves are going to come in. And here's what happened. When you had the true body of Christ, you always had multiple elders in each town overseeing a body, autonomous from everyone else. Once Paul was gone, these corrupt men started installing bishops in regions to oversee whole regions. And then that ultimately became the pope system. Under the New Testament body, I'm giving you some distinctions from the true body to Roman Catholicism. So one pope running everything was never God's system. Paul says in Titus 2, he told Timothy, go and appoint multiple elders in each city. That's the government that God has. Multiple elders and deacons to oversee a body, not one pope over the whole body. In the New Testament, adults were always baptized. You will not find child baptism, paedobaptism. You will not find it anywhere in the scriptures. When the Bible says, baptize you and your household, that means all the adults, the children logically followed, but they weren't baptized, but they were following in the faith with the family of the dad and the mom. These men, after Paul left, started realizing something. Ready? How do we control people? Well, we either got to convince them when they're adults to get baptized and join our body, or we start baptizing them as babies, telling them, oh no, you were a Catholic from the time you were baptized. You're already in the church. I was baptized as a baby in the Roman Catholic Church. I'm far from Roman Catholic. I'm on their rolls, but I'm far from Roman Catholic. I never was part of the Roman Catholic Church. That's another whole story I could share with you sometime. Never was part of it. And so they started bishops in each region. They started baptizing babies. And then another thing that they changed was the Lord's Supper was always a meal, food, with bread and wine as a symbol of the blood and body of our Savior. The Roman Catholics, many, 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 many centuries later, turned it into a mystical thing called the Eucharist, which is really nothing more than idolatry. Putting Jesus in a monstrance, going up, sitting and praying before it, that is nothing but rank idolatry. And the reason they did it was to control people. The Roman Catholic Church, and I'm getting to the Roman Catholic part, the Roman Catholic Church is a master of controlling people. In fact, do you know what the Dark Ages are? Why they were called the Dark Ages?
I've heard different speculations of it.
But the Dark Ages were when the Roman Catholics took the scriptures, hid them in their monasteries, did not let the common man have the scriptures, and said, priests will tell you what to do. Who you should bow to, keep the rules. And all of these rules were layered in that Dark Ages to control people. And the popes were in bed with the churches, or excuse me, with the government, with the monarchies, with the kings. They were all in bed. And that's what happened in the Dark Ages. And I'm no fan of Martin Luther. He was a baby baptizing, Jew hating heretic. I'm no fan of Martin Luther. He did one good thing. He left the Roman Catholic Church far enough to get the scriptures, translate them into German, and that began to spread the scriptures out. And that's about the one thing he did that I would say God used him for in a mighty way. Martin Luther was still a Roman Catholic at his heart. He brought all of the pagan ways, Christmas, Easter. He brought the ornate buildings. He brought the priest system. So the Roman Catholic part. So you had the Catholic Church, which is the universal church. Years and centuries later, you've got Constantine in 325 merging the sun god holiday, Sunday, to the day that that saints would start gathering. They made Sunday the Lord's Day. Sunday is not the Lord's Day. The Bible doesn't teach that. Neither is Saturday anymore. We don't rest on Saturday. We're resting in Christ. I'm not a Sabbatarian. So he merged. He took Christmas, made it also a religious holiday. You won't find Christmas in the Bible except for that one time event when it actually happened. Paul, John the Baptist, Peter, none of them celebrated Christmas every year. You realize that? None of them did. They didn't celebrate Christmas every year. It was a one-time event. It's a man-made institution. So what they did was, Constantine was a Roman ruler. 325 AD, they had the Council of Nicaea. They This is another thing that people lie about. They say, well, the Catholics gave us the Bible. First of all, this was way before the established Catholic Church. Constantine called together all the men and brought together all the known books at the time. And the men of that age said, what's the authoritative word of God? Who wrote it? Is the timeline right? Is it backed up by signs, wonders, miracles, and witnesses? And those books were the only ones allowed into the canon of Scripture. The Bible was already written long before there was any Constantine, any Roman Catholic Church. And so ultimately you have a Roman Catholic Church, as I set the stage here for you, because they took parts of the universal true church. There is truth in the Catholic Church. There is. There's truth in the Mormons. There's truth in Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't belong to any of them. Then they took the Roman system, paganism, merged them into the Roman Catholic system. And this is where you have all the idolatry today. You have crosses. Constantine turned the cross into a relic, into a symbol. Do you know, if you look at the Greek word, do you know what the word cross in the Bible means?
You mean the Greek word for
cross?
No, I have no
The word is storos. I encourage you to read and study the Greek. It's not the word cross. It's the word stake. The Jehovah's Witnesses actually have this part right. They don't believe that Jesus died on a cross, because he didn't. He died on a stake. And ultimately, if you look up that word, you know what it says? It says he died on a tree, a wooden object, a stake. And do you know why that's so important? He didn't die on a cross that was all formed. They laid him on a piece of wood, nailed him up, and then put him up. That's not how he died. He died on a stake, which is a tree, like that. It was a pole that the Romans used. Do you know why that's so important? Because in the book of Deuteronomy and in the book of Galatians chapter 3, Paul references Deuteronomy, and he said, cursed is any man that dies on a cross. No, any man that dies on a tree. And Christ died on a tree and became a curse for us. What happened in 300, Constantine was in a war. He says he saw the sign of the cross in the sky, and his soldiers won the battle. And ever since then, he venerated the cross. That's why you got the Pope carrying around this cross with the emaciated Jesus on it. He's not on that anymore. He's risen. He's gone. We shouldn't be carrying around the Savior who rose from that. That was a one-time act. The Mass continually keeps re-sacrificing. They say they don't. They are. They're continuing to re-sacrifice Jesus over and over. So there's so many things about the Roman Catholic Church. If you go to my teaching blog from Don't Perish, I want to give you a gospel card. If you go to my, I back all this up. I teach too. I'm not just a preacher. I teach. Don'tperish.com. If you go to my teaching blog, you'll see right at the top of the teaching blog, I've got a whole article. It's an audio. You can listen to it too. I take 10 parts of the catechism, which is your Bible, catechism, and I compare it to God's word. And I totally refute the 10 parts of the catechism against God's word to show you that this is a corrupt man-made system. It has some truth about, I would say, about the only main doctrine that I agree with the Roman Catholics on is that you must endure in your faith to find eternal life. We would agree with that. A lot of these evangelical denominational systems, they say, raise your hand, say a prayer, get baptized, you're going to heaven, Calvinistic mindset, no matter what, you're going to make it to heaven. The Bible doesn't teach that. We have to endure in a saving faith. But the Roman Catholics don't have you enduring in the biblical gospel. By Christ's shed blood, his death, burial, and resurrection, you must place your faith in that. We can't work our way to heaven. We need his perfect work for us to cleanse us and defeat death for us. Then by repentance. Repentance is changing your mind, changing your ways to leave the world system. This is Satan's kingdom you're looking at. Sports, politics, movies, fashion, pride, vanity, entertainment. This is all Satan's kingdom. We have to rebel against that. Join the kingdom of God in Christ through repentance. Fight against and war against our flesh and crucify our flesh. And we must come out of all false religion, which is Roman Catholicism, evangelicalism, all the denominations. By faith, repentance, when God sees a willing vessel, I'm preaching the gospel to you, you'll be born again. You get the Holy Spirit of God. Acts 5 says he gives it to those who obey him. How do we know we have the Holy Spirit? Jesus said it's like the wind in John 3. You don't know where it's coming. You don't know where it's going. Jesus said we judge a tree by its fruit. You don't know you have the Holy Spirit because you go to Mass or you go to some church service or that you just stop smoking or you don't look with lust anymore. The fruit that you're born of the Holy Spirit is holiness and obedience Ephesians 5:9 says the fruits of the Holy Spirit is goodness, truth, and righteousness, along with all the other fruits in Galatians 5. Love, long-suffering, peace, joy, patience is what that means. When you have the Holy Spirit, you begin to listen to the inner voice of God, the conscience, and go to the Word of God, and you begin to test everything. Where's the Pope system in the Bible? I can't find it. It's not there. Where's praying to Mary in the Bible? I can't find it. It's not there. Mary was a sinner that needed a Savior. She even told us that. Peter said, I'm a fellow elder. Don't bow to me. The men bowed to him. He said, get up. Don't bow to me. I'm just a mere man. I'm an elder. That's it. Where is that this literal bread turns into and blood and wine turns into his literal body and blood? It's not there. In John 6, he talks about eating my flesh, drinking my blood. He did that on purpose to run off all the Jews that weren't really going to believe in him, because the Jews knew cannibalism was horrific. And that at the end, when everybody's left, Jesus says, these words I just preached to you are spirit. It was the spirit he was teaching. That bread and that wine does not literally turn into his body. It's a symbol, like water baptism, like circumcision, like the Lamb of God. It's all just symbolism. And so by the faith in Jesus Christ, repentance come out. You're going to lose your friends, your family, your career. You're going to lose your church system. You're going to be born again. The fruit you're born again is you're striving in the Word of God. I point to my phone. I use that as my Bible to compare everything to your life, to the Scriptures. And then I talked about that you must endure in a saving faith to the end. And that's the biblical gospel. But they're teaching you confession to prayer. They're teaching you got to go to Mass. They're teaching you all these false man-made traditions that are not found in the Scriptures. And I know what, if your priest wasn't a coward and wouldn't have run away, he could have stood there and said to me, well, we don't just believe the Bible, because you don't. He could have said, well, we have three legs of authority, you know that. And I would have said, I do know that. Magisterium, tradition, and the Word of God. And I would have said, Jesus said we live by every word out of the mouth of God. Where did Jesus ever tell us that we live by man-made tradition? Nowhere. In fact, Jesus said in Mark 7, howbeit in vain you worship me, Pharisees. He would have been rebuking the priests today, like he rebuked the Pharisees. Howbeit in vain you worship me for keeping your man-made traditions. Now, let me take you back 2,000 years ago. In Mark 7, when Jesus, my master Messiah, rebukes the religious leaders, which, by the way, were Jews, which, by the way, were Torah keepers. I don't keep the Torah. I keep the New Covenant. They were the most moral people on the face of the earth. Do you realize that? There was nobody more moral on the face of the earth than the Pharisees. Now, they were doing it wrongly. They were telling people what to do. They had hard, unconverted hearts. But they were the most moral people on the face of the earth. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, you worship me in vain for your keeping of man-made traditions. Do you know what man-made traditions he eviscerated the Pharisees for that day? It says it right in Mark 7.
Which one was it?
The washing of pots and cups. The Pharisees made up a rule. If I showed up there and I looked dirty, and I wanted to go into the temple and I was a Jew, the Pharisees went, blah, blah, blah. We don't want you dirty guy in here. Wash your hands, wash the pots, wash the cups, before you clean up before you come in here. And Jesus said, that is not of my Father's tradition. My Father doesn't care about your outside dirt. He cares about your heart. And that was just washing of pots and cups. What would he say to the Roman Catholics today, to the evangelicals, to the non-denoms like the AOG I stood across the street against, I'm fair. What would he say to them about their pagan Christmas that God never ordained? Their Good Friday, ready? I got to give you this one because I love you. Good Friday to Sunday morning. Is Jesus Christ a liar? Would you say Jesus is a liar?
No.
If he's a liar, are we in big trouble?
Yeah, we're in trouble if he's
a
liar.
How many days did he say he'd be in the grave?
He said he'd be...
3 days in the grave, and how many nights?
I just recall it just being 3 days.
3 nights. 3 days, 3 nights, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale. How many hours is 3 days and three nights?
24, 48, 72.
72. So can you look like smart man? Can you get me 72 hours from Friday night to Sunday morning resurrection?
Well, according to that logic, no.
No, you can't get 72 hours?
When, according to that theory, it's not like something happens and all of a sudden a stopwatch is set. It's technically...
But if he doesn't tell the truth, he's not Messiah and he's not perfect.
You would have to let me finish.
All right, okay, so 72 hours, I'm waiting.
because according to him, he died before the sundown on that Friday. Right. So that's part of that day.
Right. So you get,
and then you
count
have,
them out.
And then,
doesn't have to be hours.
Count them out. No, count out the nights and days. You got Friday night and Saturday night.
Well,
where's the third night?
I don't have that in front of me, but I just recall 3 days. I don't recall 3 days.
Where's the three nights? So you, if you count reckon days, let me help you. If you reckon days, you can get part of Friday, you can get Saturday, and you can get part of Sunday.
Yeah.
So that's only that's clearly not even close to 12 hours in a full day. But you can't get three nights.
No,
the reason you can't get three nights is because Jesus didn't die on Friday. It's a Roman Catholic false tradition. He didn't rise on Sunday. The Bible says he's gone before there was first light. And I know light, the day started at the sundown. But the Bible says he was gone. You know what works perfectly? See, you guys have a savior that lies. Jesus was in the grave two nights, not three. He's a liar. He can't be your Messiah. Friday night and Saturday night. You know when he died? Wednesday. Do you know why?
Why?
You ever studied
Wednesday?
This? He died before the high Sabbath. Go read John 19. Everybody says, oh, it's got to be Good Friday because he died before the Sabbath. Sabbath was Saturday. High Sabbath. Go look up what a high Sabbath is. There's two Sabbaths that week. There was traditionally other Sabbaths than Saturday. There was a Thursday Sabbath. Jesus dies on Wednesday. It fits perfect. Jesus dies on Wednesday before the high Sabbath. They wanted him down before the high Sabbath. He's in the grave Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. He's in the grave all day Thursday, all day Friday, all day Saturday. He rises before Sunday. He's gone when they arrive in Sunday morning.
So how did
3 days,
the apostles get
three
that
nights,
wrong?
Perfectly.
How did the apostles get that wrong?
The apostles don't have it wrong.
Yeah, well,
the Roman Catholic Church has it wrong. Okay. The apostles taught it perfectly.
Okay, so
3 days and three nights.
You've asked several questions to
it's
him,
a pagan holiday.
You've asked several
questions. First of all, I was coming, sitting down, having a discussion with him.
I'm his friend. But
okay.
What are you doing?
So if you'd like to have a discussion,
it's not fair to
that
him.
Can be. What's
it's
not fair to him?
Because you've asked so many questions and you don't even let him answer. You ask questions.
I just let him answer 3 days and three nights. He gave me two nights and 3 days.
Well, I don't,
you just kind of barged in here.
I don't want to.
You just did. I barge into your Catholic service today?
I'm talking. He's. I'm his
did
friend.
I barge into your Catholic service today?
I'm his friend.
Did I barge into your Catholic service today? No, sir. I let your pagan service go on.
Okay.
I preach from the sidewalk.
Can I ask you one question? Just one question.
I don't know. Why would I have to give an answer to you on anything?
Well, just asking a question. I'm just curious. You keep referencing the Bible, right? So you just believe in the Bible. Is that correct? Yes?
I'm making an audio and I just have a Roman Catholic man say, I just believe in the Bible.
Well, I'm just wondering
the
if you
eternal
do.
Word of God that Jesus said we live by every
so
word.
That
and you
totally
just degraded the word of God.
Where did
Jesus
the word of
is the word made
yes.
flesh. How do you get that title?
Where did we get the Bible?
How do you get that title?
Where did we get the Bible?
I just covered that. You like him to talk. Would you tell him how where it came from? We well, just covered
just,
that.
I'm listening to you talk, and now I would like to be able to ask questions. Because you asked me a question, and I need to be able to answer.
So you gave me two nights
just
and 3 days.
But according to that, yes, it makes
okay.
sense. But I
so
have
Jesus
never,
is a liar.
I've never heard 3 days and three nights.
You don't know the scriptures because that's exactly
them.
What it says.
I've always heard it as
Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. There's 12 hours in a day, Jesus even says. We know there's 12 hours in a night, 72 hours. You have a false.
I've
this proves that the
before.
Roman Catholics have a false savior because Jesus is a liar according to your church
right.
system.
I have never heard of that before.
I'm enlightening you.
I'm not going to.
I have an article on my website and a teaching blog.
I'm not going to take the second step and say that someone is or is not
yeah.
a liar.
You need to investigate it. I have an article on it called Good Friday is a Lie. It was Roman Catholic instituted just like Christmas. Do you know what Christmas is? It's the merging of the winter solstice that was a pagan holiday to the Christian faith.
You've already told me that one.
Yeah.
No.
It's paganism mixed with Christianity.
I will research the 3 days, the three nights.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've ever heard that.
Do you know how many men have told me? Ready? I'm going to research that and I'll get back to you. Hundreds of men have told me that. I'll get back to you. Do you know how many have gotten back
okay.
to me to correct it?
Okay.
Zero.
So then,
because there is no correction.
So basically,
why don't you try, sir? You're laughing.
Wait, I'm laughing because it,
why don't you try?
Get back to you with the way that you're, the
why
way
would anybody get back to me?
The way that you're talking.
That
to
man
him.
Walked up to my van and said, "Let's talk." I'm sitting down talking to him.
The way you're talking.
What do you mean the way I'm talking to him?
Absolutely.
Can we admit that your system has a false savior that was in the grave two nights?
You just told me something. I would like to.
How many nights was Jesus in the grave?
I just want to respond to what you told me.
Friday night to Sunday morning is how many nights?
Can I respond? I've already answered that question. I would like to respond.
You said two.
Said.
So Jesus is a liar.
Wait.
Okay. According to Roman Catholics, Jesus is a liar.
You just told me that zero people have ever gotten back to you. So the insinuation to me is that I am going to be a liar.
Well, if you take it that way, I said zero men ever gotten back to me. Do you know why? Because there is no other answer. Jesus is right. You're all wrong. There is no other answer, sir.
I agree with
you.
Do
the math.
I agree with you on that. Jesus is right.
Do the math. Absolutely. And he was in the grave 3 days and three nights. Your Pope system says he was in the grave two nights.
I would like
to. It's a false Jesus. By the blood of Christ, you have to come to the salvation and become born again. And the Holy Spirit, if your hearts were really convicted by the Holy Spirit and guided by truth, not tradition and magisterium, you'd already, you guys are older. I'm older than you both. I'm 60. You look like you're in your 40s, 50s. You guys would have already been, you both born Catholics? No.
Nobody's born Catholic. You're baptized Catholic.
But I mean, you've been in the system your whole life?
Not my whole life,
But years?
I would say half of my life I've been Catholic.
And you? How many years have you been a Roman Catholic?
Roman Catholic, about 15 years.
Okay, 15 years. So it doesn't take long to open the scriptures and study these things and see there's no pope in the Bible. Peter said, I'm a fellow elder. He wasn't the first pope. There is no praying to Mary. Mary was a sinner that needed a savior. She even says it. There is no praying to dead saints. There's no power. There's no power. I just saw that in Missouri, they had a nun who they exhumed after 4 years. I don't know why they exhumed her, and her body hasn't decayed, they say. And everybody's going, I got pictures of her, and they're all touching her body. This is occultism. There's actually a Roman Catholic skull chapel. I think it's in Poland. I think I have it on my website. Human skulls glued all over this chapel. It's approved by the popes. The Roman Catholic faith is a mixture of paganism, occultism, with some Christianity thrown in. And that's why I oppose it. And like I said, I take you in that article in the beginning of my Spirit and Truth blog. Here's another gospel card if anybody wants it so they can find that article right on my Spirit and Truth blog. And I compare the catechism to the Bible. Your catechism is often heretic land, not even close to what the Bible teaches. Yet Jesus said we live by every word out of the mouth of God. Jesus said unless you worship in spirit and truth, you have no part of him. Jesus said we're sanctified by the truth in John 17:17. Thy word is truth. He just kind of took a shot at God's word and said, you only believe in the Bible. Jesus said, thy word is truth, and we're sanctified by it.
You believe that in the Bible.
You said, do you just believe the Bible?
Is the Bible the word of God?
You said, do I just believe the Bible? It's on audio.
Is the Bible the word of God?
Of course it is.
Infallible.
Of course it is.
Where did we get it?
Where did we get it?
Where did we get the Bible?
It was written.
How do you know
it was written, first of all, some of it was written by the finger of God, like the Ten Commandments.
But how do we know this?
Okay. And that it was given, Holy Spirit inspired to his men who penned it.
Okay.
And then it was handed down through the ages before we had computers and photos.
How was that?
If you'd let me finish. Before it was handed down through the ages, it was hand-copied. And if you look at the Old Testament, the Septuagint, the Old Testament, is so well documented, even atheists can't refute that the Old Testament, Genesis to the last book, Malachi, is the Word of God. You look at the New Testament. There is 24,000 ancient manuscripts that back up the New Testament Bible. The next closest thing is Homer's Iliad, which has 700 manuscripts. Next closest thing. 24,000 ancient manuscripts, handwritten. Compare it. It's the Word of God. Homer's Iliad, 700. If you can't believe the Bible, you can't believe what Pope Paul wrote, a few decades ago that all the Catholics lift up, because there's hardly anything backing it up compared to 2,000 years and the 24,000 ancient manuscripts. God said he would preserve his word. He did. It's accurate. And here we have a Roman Catholic questioning the veracity of God's word.
I'm just asking you.
You don't even believe God's word, sir.
How do you know? I do.
How can I take you serious?
It's absolutely infallible. But
the Roman Catholics didn't give us the Bible. The Council of Nicaea, all it did was verify the books that are already existing. It did not give us the Bible.
Can I just say one thing? Just real quick and then I'm done, I'll leave. You would have
You've already said enough. Defamed God's word.
Come back and talk to you if you did it a little bit more charitably. He hasn't even been able to talk. He talked about tradition and where does it say that in scripture? He didn't give him any chance. No,
first of all, he sat and listened to the gospel and he asked me, why is it called Roman Catholic? When you walked up, he was beginning to speak his heart and you stepped in and you interrupted. He can speak his heart and say anything he wants. He was sitting and he was listening. You came in and took a shot at God's word and you need to repent of that. You're going to lose your soul because you're following a false, dead, occult, pagan religion. And I can tell by the fruit of your life. Roman Catholics across the board are worldly, they're carnal, they're into sports, politics, entertainment. They don't dress their temple biblically. You dress in pride and vanity. How you're dressed right now is pride and vanity. It is. And God says in Proverbs 6:17, I hate it. He says it's an abomination. I just preached at the Pride Festival, and you know what I did there? You could go look up the, I put it on our, like your church is going to be exposed on my website, and you'll see the video and audio. I put them up there, not for clicks, for edification. I rebuked street preachers yesterday right in front of the homosexuals. And the homosexuals are like, wow, we've never seen a street preacher rebuke other street preachers. And I said, you know why I did that? Because there's one guy standing there, was about 150 pounds overweight. Now, let's not be mean-spirited. He's standing there telling them, you're sons of the devil. You're making your children sons of the devil. You sodomite homosexuals. While his gluttonous sin is all over. And I went to him, man to man, and I said, can I ask you a question? Totally private. And I said, how you're presenting this gospel, are you telling them about Christ, death, burial, resurrection, truth, how to follow? All you're doing is yelling about homosexuality. He had homosexual signs. I know it's a sin. I don't defend it. I said, maybe we should preach the gospel, and if they ask us about homosexuality, tell them, yeah, it's a sin. So is lying, stealing, drunkenness. And he got upset before I even mentioned gluttony. He goes, well, I see what you're doing. You're just trying to correct me. And I said, I'm just trying to help you. And I said, one more thing. Right here, man to man, I didn't yell it out. I said, could they turn and say, yeah, we're sodomites and homosexuals. You're a glutton. And God says, put a knife to your throat, glutton. He got mad. He goes, I'm done with you. And he walked away. What it shows is the mass hypocrisy that is in these religious systems. He was a Baptist or something, I think. And I rebuked him lovingly. And I turned to the sodomites and the homosexuals. And I said, listen, you guys are in sin. That is sinful. He's in sin. The churches are in sin. The popes are in sin. The denominational churches are in sin unless we walk in spirit and truth and we don't live as hypocrites. Do you realize Jesus, the one sin that you could label him that he hated the most, do you know what it is? Have you studied the scriptures?
I have, but I'm just curious.
Read Matthew 23. Hypocrite, hypocrite, hypocrite. What was the leaven of the Pharisees? Luke 12:1. Hypocrites. And so the Roman Catholic Church is full of hypocrisy. They've already proven that one of the popes was hiding and protecting and moving pedophiles around. It's loaded with pedophiles because they have priests that can't marry, which is totally unbiblical. Paul says it's better not to marry. Focus your life in Christ. But it's better to marry than burn. God made man and woman to come together. The whole Roman Catholic system, the Pope sits on a golden throne. It's the richest business in the world. They've murdered 50 million people. Before you walked up, we talked about the Dark Ages. They hid the Word of God. About the only good thing Martin Luther did was got the Word of God out. He was a heretic. He didn't repent. Have you ever read the 95-point thesis he put on the wall of the cathedral? You ever read it? Mm-hmm. It's a joke. There's so many things to call the Roman Catholic Church out for. He's got like five things. His biggest angry point was, which I didn't cover this with you yet. I wanted to. Do you know how the Vatican was built? Money-wise? You? How?
Indulgences.
Selling sin. Selling forgiveness for sin. That's how the Vatican was built. Do you know what sits in the middle of the Vatican Square? There's one on top of your pagan building. An obelisk. 90 foot tall one in the middle of St. Peter's Square. Do you know what an obelisk is? The girls are gone. We can talk about this now. It's a penis. An obelisk is a male phallic symbol. The Roman Catholic popes took it from Egypt. Egyptians used it as a phallic symbol, a sign of fertility. Now you guys all hang them on top of your building. Do you see how paganized you are? You must repent of that. You must walk in holiness and purity. You cannot come and defend your Roman Catholic corrupt system with its false gospel, the fruit of its worldliness, its paganism. Again, she's murdered 50 million people, and I really believe this. You guys will walk away. I'll never hear from you again. I wish I would. I'd love
to Bible study with you. Would you give us an opportunity to actually talk, though?
Well, I'm just, hey, you know what?
You're just talking. You're not letting anybody else.
You know what?
Talk.
The reason I pour out truth is you've been both Catholics for decades, and you haven't studied the Word of God. I get you for a short time to pour out truth into you. What you have to say is probably not really important. You know why? Because you're not studying, and you're not living by God's Word.
Well, why don't you?
We'll pray for you.
Why don't you give us a chance?
Before he walked up, you were talking, and he walked up, and
I really didn't have a chance to say
really?
Much.
What would you like to say?
If you came at it, like,
what would you like to say?
This, if you came at it with Christ's love, if you had some charity.
Truth
like
is Christ's
really,
love. Jesus told the Pharisees to repent.
He called
them hypocrites.
Do you love us?
I do,
do you want love.
You need to repent. You're going to lose your soul.
Yeah, you don't want us to lose our soul. So just so you know, in the future, when you're talking to people, if you put out a little bit more joy and love,
really, people. What did I say? Mean spirited today, standing on a sidewalk, unbiblical, mean spirited.
Right,
what did I
just
say?
Right, condescendingly, you tell him.
Condescending. What did I say? Condescending.
You said, "Do you know Scripture? Do you study Scripture?"
I said, "Do you?" That's a question.
But you're doing it.
Jesus did that. Jesus said, "Have you not read?" Jesus said to people when they asked him questions, "Have you not read?"
I'm sure he wasn't doing it like you were.
Really?
Yes.
You know Jesus? You paint him as a feminized, soft, pansy man. He was a bold man of God that spoke the word of God. He called false teachers and false men like you, defending false systems, hypocrites, bags of dead men's bones, and he warned you, lest you repent, you're going to lose your soul. To the children, he showed love. To the people in the gutter. Have you ever seen how I treat homeless people when I minister to them? Do you think I treat them like you false men? No. I sit down in the gutter with them. I offer them food, and I tell them, you know what? How did you end up here? They tell me their story, and I go, Christ has a way out for you.
I have to say something right
now. Yeah, I do full ministry. I don't just sit in a pew on Sunday.
Right. I just have
and he came over to poison our conversation.
Wait, I want to say something right now.
Yeah.
I have every intention. I wish I could actually sit here and chat with you. But the mere fact that you have no idea who this person is.
Really? What idea do I have? What do I have wrong?
Tore him down. And have
really?
No idea who he is.
He just took a shot at God's word and said, you only believe in the word of God. And you're going to defend that. Satan send his worker to take you away. That's you're going to let him do that.
You totally called him a false.
He is a false man if he follows the Roman Catholic system.
You don't even know
he is a false man. He's a defending a false system. And so are you, sir. And I can't even shake your hand if you're going to defend the false system. The Bible says don't even say Godspeed to false men. You're going to lose your souls. It's the most loving thing. Here, you want a gospel card to prove my... Go look up that catechism. I love you. Bold truth. John the Baptist was the greatest man who ever lived. Did you ever see how he taught false, how he treated false teachers?
Can I shake?
How did he treat false teachers? John the Baptist.
Can I shake your hand based upon the fact that I had some time to share with you?
Not if you're walking away into the Catholic Church. I can't. I have no hope for you. I love you both. I hope you repent. The word of God cuts like a Hebrews 4 sword. I hope you have a better opinion of God's word, sir. Soon you're going to stand before the King of Glory and you're going to be judged for it. Repent while you can.